Good evening, and thank you all for joining me tonight for my 8th State of the County message. In 2012, when I had the honor of delivering my first address, our county was facing so many challenges. We were borrowing from reserves to deal with a structural unbalanced budget. We had experienced years of dramatic property tax increase, and we were relying on short-term borrowing to deal with cash flow shortages. Our nursing home was losing over $1 million a month, and more importantly, patient care was being affected as a result of 2 decades of failure to invest in necessary upgrades to our facility in nearly every department. Dramatically cuts to personnel or programs had affected the quality of our service. Still upside down, Mike, just to let you know. All of our 17 of our collective bargaining agreements remained open and unresolved, creating financial uncertainty and affecting the morale of our workforce. And most troubling, Omni County had retreated as a leader in the region as a catalyst for development and innovation. We faced challenges to be certain, but together met those challenges, and today, Omni County's story is far different, one to be sure. Our reserves at a historical high, over $60 million. Our recent enacted budget was balanced without resorting to any gimmicks or one-shots. And we continue to stay under the state tax cap for the 6th consecutive year. In fact, we're even able to give our real property owners a tax cut this year. Additionally, we no longer amortize for new pension-related expenses, and we have managed our finances in such that we no longer rely on short-term cash flow borrowings. Our nursing home is on the path to fiscal solvency. Patient care has dramatically improved, and we are now underway to invest in $80 million in a much-needed long-overdue improvements that will make our nursing home worthy of the residents and a credit to our county. Likewise, in nearly every department, programs have been improved and expanded to serve more of those in need, particularly our seniors, our veterans, our children, and those residents with physical and mental challenges, as well as those dealing with challenges of poverty, affordable housing, indigent defense, and so many other needs. Because of these accomplishments and because of you, our county legislators, our employees, our not-for-profit partners, our incredible residents, because of you, tonight I'm proud to report the state of our county is strong and that our future is bright. How do we accomplish all this? I believe the answer is simple. Despite our differences and our disagreements, and yes, there's been a few, we have fundamentally stayed focused on the core mission of county government: to serve those in need, to create better opportunities, economic and otherwise, for all of our residents, so as to improve the quality of life of our communities and to create a better future for our children. And so tonight, I'm here to report on that progress we have made and the successes we have achieved over the past year in the service of that mission. For many, 2018 will be remembered as the year of the woman, defined by historical political victories and by the Me Too movement that fueled a revolution around the globe for women's rights. In Albany County, at the forefront has been our Crime Victim Sexual Violence Center. The center continues to be a regional, state, and national leader in the support of women, particularly those who have been victims of sexual and domestic violence. The department continues to win new grant funding that has literally assisted hundreds of victims, both men and women, to obtain the most comprehensive and coordinated care through a collaboration and development over a decade of working with strategic community partners. The department's initiatives serve as best practice models nationally. In recognition of this success, our director, Karen Ziegler, was appointed to State Advisory Council for Victim Services and to the Governor's Domestic Violence Review Team. Karen, congratulations to you and your staff, and thank you for your extraordinary, important work. During the 2018, Albany County took on a national leadership role in an epic battle with the pharmaceutical industry. As part of that effort to deal with the opiate crisis affecting communities across this country. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, last year the number of deaths involving prescription opiates, heroin, and fentanyl was 6 times higher than in 1999. Alarming statistics. In each one of those deaths, including those right here in the county, represent a heartbreaking story of families and loved ones having their lives affected forever. A few days ago, at my direction, our legal counsel amended our federal litigation, amended pharmaceutical manufacturers to additionally take on pharmaceutical distributors, who we believe should be held equally accountable for this crisis. Very importantly, Judge Polster, who's overseeing this historic litigation, issued an important order denying the industry's motion to dismiss, in his opinion, in our favor. The judge stated, it's all the good judges in the audience, just pointing that out. In this opinion, in our favor, the judge stated, this opiate epidemic is a man-made plague 20 years in the making. The pain, the death, the heartache it has brought cannot be overstated. It is hard to find anyone who does not have a family member, a friend, a parent of a friend. The pain, the death, and the heartache it has brought cannot be overstated. Or a child or a friend who has not been affected. A few days ago, the Washington Post ran an incredible story concerning Purdue Pharmaceutical, one of the major manufacturers named in the defense of our federal litigation. The Post reported that parents were writing to Purdue about their children who had died of the OxyContin overdoses, as federal prosecutors were reporting alarming increase in deaths connected to the powerful opiate. Richard Slacker, a member of the family that founded Purdue, devised a plan how to respond to the crisis. In a confidential email that was obtained through discovery motions made in our federal lawsuit, Sackler wrote, "We have to hammer the abusers in every way possible. They are the culprits and the problem. They are the reckless criminals." Well, Mr. Slacker, we have news for you. We have our own hammer. It's called the law. And we're going to use it on your company, as well as all the other manufacturers and distributors, to ensure that you all are held accountable for the deaths, the heartache, and the pain your reckless actions have caused to so many individuals and so many families across this nation. This is my pledge to you tonight. I also pledge that we'll do everything we can as a county to deal with this crisis. Already, we're working with a number of partners and law enforcement agents to implement innovative policies that comprehensively help addicted victims and their families. Every month, our County Department of Health and Mental Health has hosted free training to teach the public how to spot the signs of heroin or opiate addiction and how to use Narcan to save victims' lives. We're also in the process of training field staff in several county departments to administer the antidote. In a recent study, Stanford University study, estimate wider available Narcan can prevent as many as 21 deaths over the next decade. Most recently, we have received grant funding that will be used to share real-life data between public safety, public health, and behavioral health officials as part of my opiate task force to identify areas where overdoses are more common and respond to local needs faster. As President and County Executive of America and co-chair of this opiate task force, I've made the opiate crisis our number one priority. As President of the County Executives Association of NYSAC, I've done the same on the state level. I'm pleased that my leadership role in both these organizations has allowed me to share with other county executives initiatives we have implemented here in Albany County. Initiatives that are now being used by counties across the state and nation. Additionally, I have been able to learn what is working in other communities that can implement here in Albany County. One such initiative that we'll be introducing in the coming weeks is from Dayton, Ohio, an initiative called GROW, Getting Recovery Options Working. We will dispatch assistance from our mobile crisis team to homes of individuals who have been overdosed to provide overdose victims with treatment opportunities and ongoing support. And as part of GROW, we'll include it as members of the team, former addicts who have been trained to provide counseling and peer support. We'll also provide scholarship funding to provide these former addicts with the training and certification required for peers for support initiatives, in addition to our efforts to provide services to those trapped in a cycle of addiction. It's important that we also begin efforts to prevent vulnerable individuals from becoming addicts in the first place. So also, as part of this GROW, and toward that goal, we'll begin working with physicians, school nurses, coaches, and others in contact with young people potentially behaving in the way that could lead to addiction. Screening tools exist that can be employed to identify these individuals before they become addicted, helping serve providers early on to redirect them to a more successful path. This proactive approach will hopefully help us end the current epidemic and prevent the next one from ever even occurring. In addition to our Department of Health and Mental Health, our county attorney, our Department of Law, and my executive staff have been instrumental in our efforts to deal with the opiate crisis. So tonight, please join me in making them and saying thank you for their great efforts. However, we address issues like addiction, domestic violence, mental illness. Experts tell us can serve as a measure of a community's overall health. How we care for those who are most vulnerable and most at need defines us as a community. Statistics tell us that mental health will touch 1 in 5 individuals over the course of our lifetime. Faced with this reality, Albany County's Department of Mental Health has prioritized the behavior health needs of our residents through innovative programs and partnerships. The success and efforts reflect in a number of key accomplishments, including more streamlining delivery of mental health services to patients utilizing our mental health clinic. Additionally, the department has engaged in an effort to reduce unnecessary institution and in 2018 expanded its mobile crisis team to provide services 24/7. The demand for behavioral health treatment continues to grow, and our mental health department continues to ensure that the residents dealing with mental health challenges attain a meaningful improvement in the quality of their life, renewed connection to our community, and lasting recovery. For all that efforts and success that we have achieved, we thank Dr. G. O'Donnell and his entire department. During 2018, the County Department of Health was again a national leader in an effort to promote health equality to residents and community throughout our county. The department has been one of the most active in understanding and implementing the equity agenda goals I initiated countywide policy 2 years ago. As part of that effort, our family health programs provide outreach to provide early prenatal care as well as maternal and child health services to ensure that infants and children receive comprehensive health care in those critical formative years. I recently had the honor of being the first county, which Phil already said, thanks Phil. I recently had the honor of being the first county executive in the nation to be named to Hunt Keene Leadership Fellowship based in Washington, D.C. At our very first meeting of this fellowship, which includes governors, state attorney generals, and congressional leaders, focus was on the topic of equitable education and life outcomes. And the need to consider, as we've been doing here in Albany County, how infants, toddlers, and their families are supported. We know that early learning support starts with prenatal care and continues through school entry. It's a critical part of the successful development of continuum for our children. Toward that goal, our Department of Health plays a leadership role with the Mental and Infant Community Health Collaboration to provide the support and care mothers may need for successful outcomes for themselves and for their children as part of that development continuum. For the past 2 years, the department has worked diligently to achieve national public health accreditation, a challenging process that only a small percent of county health departments have achieved. This year, we're hopeful that the department's innovative efforts to prevent disease, to protect against environmental hazards, to promote the health and wellness of our citizens, and to prepare us for public health emergencies will be recognized by the National Accreditation Board. Already, two of the department's initiatives, Complete Street Programs and Project Orange, have received national and state recognition for being a model practice for communities to follow. Dr. Whalen's staff, thank you for all you do every day to promote the health and well-being of our county. Our county's Department of Children, Youth, and Family Services works with hundreds of families, literally thousands of children, to help them create a safe, nurturing environment in which children can grow, thrive, and reach their full potential. In 2018, the department's Division of Children, Family, and Services handled calls involving over 10,000 children, and its preventive unit provided services 1,000 more to reduce the risk of foster care placement. In response to my call to action last year, the department created a foster care task force. The goal of development of better solutions to deal with the crisis is so many children entering the foster care system. Many as a result of the consequences of this opiate epidemic. The department is also working closely with our probation department, county attorney's office, on the implementation of Raise the Age that went into effect in October of 2018, and which will affect thousands of youth who will be diverted from our criminal justice system. In that regard, a youth bureau managed nearly 60 community-based programs aimed at engaging young residents in a positive activities so as to keep them out of harm's way. In the coming year, the bureau anticipates that over 20,000 youth will benefit from these programs. These important programs, and nothing that we do is more important than creating those support opportunities for our youngest residents. So, Commissioner Gail Gohagan and your incredible staff, thank you for your remarkable achievements. Our County Department of Probation will be most impacted by the new Raise the Age litigation, and the department remains committed to expanding new innovative ways to deliver services and to the best provide the resources necessary for reducing factors offering those on probation a greater opportunity to live law-abiding, productive lives. Toward that goal, in 2018, the department again received national recognition from the National Associations of Counties from its programming. By example, the department was part of a team that took part in Georgetown University program focused on reducing racist and ethnic disparities in the juvenile system. For its participation, the department was awarded the prestigious membership into the Children's Juvenile Justice Fellowship Network. And just a few days ago, Director Bill Connors received an award for leadership from the New York State Department of Criminal Justice. All of us are so proud of the important work that Director Connors and his team do every day, and we congratulate them on their remarkable service. Last year, I shared with you the exciting news that Harvard University recognized the Department's Juvenile Accountability Program as a cutting-edge best practice and presented the department with the Bright Idea Award. Like Project Growth, which teaches those on probation a vocational skill as well as the importance of restitution, the department's efforts like its first in the state driver's education initiative and its Dress for Success program geared to helping those on probation to find a better path for life. With the implementation of Raise the Age and a repurposing of our juvenile detention facility to a facility that would house juveniles that previously would have been sent to adult detention, I believe more needs to be done to divert youth from entering the juvenile legal system in the first instance. So tonight, I'm announcing a new initiative modeled after King County, Washington, that will be a roadmap to zero youth detention. Research shows that youth have a better chance at a positive adulthood when they don't interact with the juvenile legal system in the first place. Like King County, we too will take a public health approach to juvenile detention to advance this goal. Leading this effort is going to be Dr. Whelan. Director Connors, Commissioner Gohagan, and now Dr. Whelan and Dr. Giordano, as well as our county attorney, our public defender, and our alternate public defender's office. This will engage partners from law enforcement, the health, and for the nonprofit community and others to develop Albany County's own roadmap and report to back to us with a tangible objectives in the next several months. I'm grateful and honored to announce that Dr. Alice Green, whose own life work has been dedicated to this mission, has agreed to chair this important effort and to help us to ensure success. Thank you, Dr. Green. Thank you. Every child in this county deserves the opportunity to reach his or full potential, to achieve their dreams. Zero Youth Detention will be dedicated to that mission, to help them realize those dreams by helping ensure interaction with our juvenile detention system is avoided. It's an ambitious goal, but so too was the initiative I announced just a few years ago to get New York State to recognize its obligation under Gideon versus Wainwright. Somebody, Women Fahey here, she leave already. She left already. Oh, I'm leaving you out again, Pat. You did it last year. So, John, you can tell her. I announced just a few years ago to get New York State to recognize its obligation under Gideon versus Wainwright to improve the quality of indigent defense in New York State. You will recall, at that time, New York State largely passed on the cost of defense to county governments, and counties had very different commitments to the constitutional requirement to adequate legal services. Largely, as a result of our effort, as a result of the litigation we submitted, New York State Legislature passed and the governor signed in 2017 budget bill that provides the dramatic phase-in increase in funding for counties statewide. Additionally, the change in funding caused New York State's Office of Indigent Legal Services, located here in Albany, to appropriately grow in significance as the chief administrator of state aid to counties. They've been very supportive of our public defender and our alternate public defender's office, as well as 18B administrator. As a result of their efforts, by 2023, when the budget bill is fully phased in, New York State will spend an additional $250 million annually on indigent defense to ensure the promise of Gitney is finally fulfilled. I want to thank Governor Cuomo and the members of the New York State Legislature. This is where I would have mentioned you, John, with Pat, but, you know, thank you, John McDonald. As well as Bill Leahy and the staff at the Office of Indigent Legal Services. Tonight, I also want to recognize and thank Bill and his office for supporting our efforts 2 years ago to establish the Office of Immigration Assistance. When I announced the creation of the office at that time, I don't believe any of us could have predicted the important role it would play given what's happening on a national level during the last 2 years. The office now provides training support to defense attorneys representing non-citizens over 14 county region, and over the past 2 years has provided assistant counsel in more than 415 cases involving individuals from over 100 countries. When the Trump administration began its immigration enforcement policy, our Immigration Assistance Office immediately began conducting outreach to colleges, universities, community organizations in an effort to better educate non-citizens about their rights. In the past summer, when the Trump administration transferred 300 immigrant detainees from the southern border to our correctional facility, our office, pursuant to an executive order, helped coordinate attorneys from our legal departments as well as outside attorneys to offer effective legal assistance to a dozen of detainees. Our screening of detainees allowed us to quickly learn that most of these individuals were seeking asylum in the United States due to prosecution or torture they have experienced in their own countries. We learned of individuals who were separated from their loved ones. In one case, where a grandmother was separated from her 8-year-old granddaughter, our office worked tirelessly to have her reunited with her family in the United States. These cases, like so many others, made the trauma and the immoral policies coming from Washington suddenly very real in our own county. Because of the partnership with Sheriff Apple, and our office put into place partnerships with the U.S. Commission on Refugees and Immigration, with the Legal Aid Society, with Empire Justice Center, with the Legal Project, and with Albany Law School, and with many others, Albany County was able to provide guidance to hundreds of vulnerable individuals. For all those important and credible efforts, please join me in thanking Sheriff Apple and his staff and partners of our Office of Immigration Assistance. I'm proud that here in Albany County, our priorities and values are focused on compassion and progressive government. Priorities like support of paid sick leave, support for our equity agenda, support for many green initiatives to make Albany County the greenest county in America, support for our battle against big oil, for increased rail safety standards to ensure a safer environment for our residents, support for mental health court for individuals dealing with priorities such as those that help define us as a caring community, as does this great work being accomplished by so many departments. By example, in the past year, our County Social Service Department began a new initiative, one based on our equity agenda called Bridges Out of Poverty, to address the effects of poverty at the individual, institutional, and community level. Last year, the department processed over 17,000 SNAP cases, over 19,000 medical cases, and nearly 6,000 individual assistance cases monthly. Our County Department for Aging and its Age-Friendly County Initiative focus on the underserved population with the counties including immigration, refugees, minorities, and low-income seniors, and the department has continued to expand its outreach to younger, healthier seniors to ensure recreational lifestyle choices to enable them to remain active and to age in place. Likewise, our County Veterans Bureau, also expanded its community outreach, has established new collaboration and partnerships to provide more assistance to our remarkable veterans and their families. Tonight, please join me in thanking Social Service Commissioner Michelle McLean, Agent Commissioner Deborah Tano, Veterans Director Ken Secor, and their staff for their great work on all the critical initiatives and for making Albany County Cares more than just a slogan, but a very tangible reality. As I stated earlier, nothing's more important than creating a community that provides opportunities for helping our young residents. Towards that goal, our Department of Recreation has just in a few years created opportunities for thousands of youngsters to take part in a variety of sports through its first-of-its-kind relationship with the National Amateur Athletic Union. As a result of that collaboration, the department now provides in a partnership with the Sheriff's Office, AU-sanctioned recreation opportunities in skating, hockey, track and field, baseball, lacrosse, flag football, and karate. At the same time, the department has expanded recreational opportunities at Lawson's Lake and on a rail trail. Tonight, please join me in thanking and congratulations to Commissioner D'Antonio and his staff for all their efforts. Lawson's Lake and our own county rail trail have become major destination attractions in our region. These facilities, along with our beautiful renovated Times Union Center, our new Capitol Center, our county-owned airport, which is now in the process of major renovation, and all contribute to making Albany County metro area one of the top 50 places to live in the nation, according to U.S. News and World Report. I often think we don't take enough pride in the beauty of this place and all that it has to offer. We have one of the most highly educated and skilled workforces in the nation, one of the lowest unemployment rates, and one of the lowest property tax rates in the state. We have world-class institutions on higher learning, world-class medical institutions, world-class culture institutions, in cutting-edge entrepreneur industries. And this summer, we'll host the first Aurora Games, an international sporting event featuring and promoting world-class women athletes. Athletes like Nancy Kerrigan, Nadia Comaneci, and Jackie Joyner Kircher, along with ESPN, will be here to highlight young women athletes from around the world who will be competing right here in our own county. We intend to build a festival around this event that will also highlight and celebrate women in literature, music, academia, and in government. And to make this event a biannual, long overdue celebration of women in our region. We have incredible assets, so much to offer, and I think we in Albany County government can and must do more to promote these assets. By making sure Albany County is recognized as a leader in economic development, a catalyst for more growth and more opportunity for our children, as well as more opportunities for those who make be interested in locating here. So with that goal in mind, we have engaged a highly regarded consulting firm, Camoin Associates, to prepare a new strategic plan for economic development for our county. I want to thank Kevin O'Connell, who has chaired a group of business leaders, have been working with my office to develop the baseline scope of this plan. Is Kevin here? Should recognize your wife, we like her better, but I'm just saying. Camoin will do a deep dive review of our local and regional economy. And through a planning process that will engage a broader base of stakeholders that will identify long-lasting growth opportunities and develop strategics for our community and strategies. Opportunities and strategies that will include a focus on development green economy, greater economic justice as we seek to both eliminate inequality and protect our environment. A new Green Deal, if you will, for all of our residents. I believe Albany County can use its leadership to effectively transformational changes. Look what we have accomplished with our own land bank. With our support over the past 4 years, the land bank has grown to become one of the largest in New York State. In the past year, buyers have invested nearly $12 million in properties purchased from our own land bank. This is a remarkable accomplishment that is helping to stabilize and even renew neighborhood communities throughout our county. We can take pride in our role in the success of this story. Initiatives like this are within our grasp and are the type of development strategies we look forward to Camoyan recommending as we work together to make Albany County the most livable county in the nation. At the beginning of this week, we celebrate the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. We recall his iconic "I Have a Dream" speech. That was such a defining moment in our nation's history. A moment that spoke to the better angels. A moment so different than the leadership coming from today's White House. Leadership that I believe threatens the very unity of our nation. Leadership that has resulted in the longest government shutdown in our nation's history. We all want to make sure our borders are secure, but let's stop penalizing our federal workers. Let's not jeopardize programs that are essential to our most vulnerable fellow Americans. Let's reopen our federal government while we work toward an acceptable compromise that achieves our common goal. Mr. President, end this government shutdown now. Let's do it in honor of Dr. King's legacy and in the spirit of what he taught us, that hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. When Dr. King was a young college student at Morehouse College, he attracted the attention and friendship of Dr. Benjamin Mays, the college president, and two became such friends that Dr. King would later refer to Dr. Mays as his spiritual father. When Dr. King was assassinated, Dr. Mays was asked to deliver the only public eulogy given at Dr. King's funeral. Aware that he was speaking to a deeply divided, troubled, grieving nation, Dr. Mays reminded us of something we, at this moment, should bear in mind as we continue to celebrate Dr. King's legacy. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, believed first and foremost in a united America. He had faith in this country. He died striving to integrate America. To that end, this great nation of ours, born in revolution and blood, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the belief that all men are created free and equal, will truly become the lighthouse of freedom, where no one will be denied because their skin is black, and none favored because his eyes are blue. Where our nation will be military strong, but always at peace. Economically secure, but just. Learned, but wise. Where the poorest will have bread enough to share. Where no one will be poorly housed, educated up to his capacity. And where the richest, will understand the meaning of empathy. This was his dream, and toward that he strove. In Albany County, this is our dream too. It's fundamentally our core mission to build and support such a community. I know that each and every one of us share the dream and support that mission. Even when we may disagree on the approach or the road to get there. I also know that you share my love and my passion for this county and for its residents. And for that, and for your continued efforts and support, I thank you. I look forward to working with you as we set out to make 2019 our best and brightest year yet. I also want to thank all the departments I did not specifically mention this evening, but that are equally important to that mission. Our Department of Public Works, General Services, Human Resources, Civil Service, our Water Purification District, to all the terrific employees in each of those departments, thank you for your remarkable service. And lastly, I want to thank all the residents of our county who supported our effort, who inspires our mission. God bless all of you, and God bless our nation, our state, and our great county of Albany. Thank you.